Good evening. I'm Patricia Naft, morning news host on KVNF, and this evening I'm joined by KVNF board president Linda Bacigalupi and KVNF station manager Rick Watts. There's been a lot of information and misinformation being passed around regarding the board of directors contemplating a proposed frequency change and power reduction for KVNF in Paonia. Tonight, Rick and Linda are here to illuminate our listeners and listener members with the background, the general information, and the overall big picture that the KVNF Board of Directors has been contemplating. This is a live call-in show, and we welcome your calls, your comments, and your questions, 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF-NOW. We're live on the radio. Please remember to keep your comments appropriate. Good evening, Rick, Linda.
Patricia, thanks for sitting in with us.
Hi, thanks for doing this show.
I'm happy to do it. Rick, why don't you share with our listeners the background?
Sure. You know, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt lately, and that's kind of, I guess, our purpose for being here is we want everybody to understand, you know, the rumor mill kind of runs wild. And so I wanted to take this opportunity, as I know Linda did as well, just to kind of clarify some issues before maybe it even becomes more exceptional and exciting than it actually is. So just historically what happened, and I think this started back in December, actually, of last year. We weren't out attempting to sell KVNF or anything like that. We just simply received a phone call from a representative of the K-Love series of stations. They're actually owned by Educational Media Foundation, which, you know, for the record, you know, there's been a lot of comments about how they're multi-million-dollar, you know, broadcasting company or whatever. But they're actually, they're large. I mean, you can hear them in many, many places, but they are a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. And they operate their stations for the most part in the non-commercial band, just as we do with our stations, KVNF and KVMT, as well as most of our translators. Some of them run up in the commercial band. But anyway, Educational Media Foundation was wanting to put a full power station in Montrose. And they had obtained actually 25,000 watt construction permit in the commercial band for purposes of doing that. But based upon some engineering studies that were done, it was determined that it really wasn't going to fit their needs because they were hoping to kind of project up towards Grand Junction with that Montrose signal. So originally when I was contacted, it was for purposes of asking whether or not I felt that the board might entertain an offer just to swap those frequencies. So under the terms of that proposal, we would have gone up into, I think, like 99.5 or something in the commercial band, but have been at 25,000 watts, which, just for clarification right now, I think KVNF runs at about 2,600 watts, so it would have been about a 10 times power increase. I told them at that point that, although certainly I would mention it, I didn't think that we would be interested in operating up in the commercial band.
It was just a straight swap.
It was a straight swap. They were going to pay the costs associated with the FCC filings, and I think they're going to pay for a new antenna because it would have been a different frequency and a different power load, so we would have had to do some things there.
And but, that was their first offer to you, and you took it to the board?
Right. Well, I discussed it. I don't know that I ever really formally took it to the board because I had a pretty good idea that nobody associated with KVNF probably would want to operate up in the commercial band. We're a non-commercial station, and although we can legally do that, certainly it's preferable not to be up in the commercial band for our purposes. So, I mean, I kind of alluded to that when I was talking to him initially. It was sometime thereafter, I don't know if it was a month or 2 months, they came back with, at that time, an offer. They actually, and I've got to kind of look at some papers here, they own a small facility that's actually licensed over in the Montrose area. I think it's in Placerville, actually, KTEI, which is a small power station, maybe even a translator. But their plan at that point was then to increase the power of that station to broadcast towards the north, towards Grand Junction, to cover Montrose. But to do that, they were going to actually infringe upon our primary service contour of 90.9 in Paonia. And that primary service contour, if you visualize a map, is kind of you've got a little dot where your transmitter is, and then outside of that there's kind of a circular or a two-shaped line that kind of defines where your primary signal goes. Probably you can be heard on the other side of it, but for purposes of somebody else violating your signal, you know, if their signal's overlapping, then that's a violation. So if they were to increase the power at Placerville like they wanted to, they were going to interfere with 90.9 because that channel is actually at 90.7. And under the rules of the FCC, there has to be two channels of separation. Jeff Reynolds is the operations manager, is in the control room here. So Jeff, please feel free to chime in and correct me if I'm misstating the rules of the FCC, but I'm pretty certain there has to be two channels of separation.
I'm not 100% up to speed on that particular rule, but I think you're pretty close, yeah.
Okay.
Is that when you have two stations that are adjacent frequencies like that, 90.7 and 90.9, it's not the same as being on the same frequency, but it's very close. It's very easy to interfere with each other.
Right, they're going to be bleed over. And so anyway, it's prohibited. So they knew they couldn't broadcast at 90.7 as long as we were on 90.9 broadcasting at our current 2,600 watts. So they upped it. They said, tell you what, we'll give you $30,000. And essentially, at that point, he was looking at us just reducing our power so that they would not be violating that service contour. It would kind of shrink in, you might imagine, closer to our transmitter site. I told him at that point I would take that to the board, and I did actually do that. And I believe that was done. Linda probably remembers this, don't you, Linda?
Not exact meeting, I don't, but...
Actually, I do. It was in April of 14, because we were having our meeting actually in Delta. And I just remembered that, you know, there was a lot of discussion about it, some favorable, some not so favorable.
So reducing the power, how does that affect the listeners in that area?
Well, this would be our Paonia transmitter, which is up on Wakefield.
Right.
And, I can go through a little bit of history here. Here in Paonia, back in 1979, when the station was founded, you know, it was a very small, non-commercial radio station. As I think, actually, it may have been the very last 10-watt station licensed by the FCC. But it was a 10-watt station, and the antenna was on a telephone pole outside of a garage up on Garvin Mesa. And they operated that way for a while. Then in 1981, that power was increased to 500 watts, and the transmitter was actually moved to a tower, I think, that already existed up on Wakefield. It may have been a television antenna or something to that extent. So at that point, you know, they increased their power by 50 times and operated that way all the way up till 1991 when the power is actually increased to 3,000 watts. Now, as I understand it, at that time we didn't have KVMT in Montrose yet. That actually didn't happen until sometime in the mid 2005, 2006, something like that. So that power increase to 3,000 watts was for the purpose of covering that area out in the Delta Montrose area, because other than this transmitter, we didn't have anything other than some translators that were servicing some little communities. And I think at that time, I think we had our translator. I think we actually had one in Delta at that time, if I remember right. There was the one in Lake City actually came on the same year as the 3,000-watt increase, so that would have been in 1991. But I know Ridgeway was there, Ouray was there. So anyway, that power increase was designed to service that area south of here because we didn't have KVMT yet. And then at some point subsequent to that, I know we're running KVMT at 8,000 watts now. As a result of that, KVMT and KVNF now broadcast with service contours that really substantially overlap each other. So
that's why you can switch between those two frequencies and hear
exactly
the station.
Exactly right. So, you know, the whole idea behind the decreasing the power was that we should be able to decrease it to some extent without really losing coverage, because we have so much overlap there. Mm-hmm. And frankly, if you look at it even just from a power perspective, I mean, we're purchasing kilowatt hours of power to broadcast that 2,800 watts to cover the same area that we're covering with 89.1 at KVMT in Montrose. So
it's redundant.
Right. And that was kind of the idea behind decreasing the power. You know, when you first hear it, though, your hackles kind of go up. And it's like, well, why would we want to decrease our power? We're going backwards,
exactly.
You know. But if you look at it into the context of, you know, we're spending power and, you know, putting that pressure on equipment, you know, to cover redundantly the same area, it kind of takes on a different
So why does – why in Paonia, when you are listening to 90.9, do you sometimes get bleed over from another radio station?
You know, I have that
Is
problem.
Is that illegal? I mean, should they – should we be going after those people?
It would take – you know, I guess it would take some investigation. I think a lot of that problem, Patricia, comes from the fact that at least – my experience in that regard has been I have that problem if I'm attempting to tune KVNF in on an old school mechanical tuner radio, like my clock radio in my bedroom.
Sure.
It has a really hard time. But if I'm actually on my digital tuner in my car, for instance, I don't have it. So I think a lot of that is just probably with the coil type antenna that's in your radio.
Okay.
And I don't know that they're violating you know, our service contour by broadcasting.
That 2 degrees of separation.
Exactly. And I think that if that were the case, probably something would have been done about it by now, because I think it's probably existed for quite some time.
Okay.
So anyway, you know, there is the possibility of doing a decrease in power without losing coverage. I mean, you may have to not listen to 90.9 anymore. You may have to switch over to 89.1 if you're in that overlap area. But anyway, I think that was the basis behind their proposal to, you know, offer some money if we would decrease the power. Well, so I took that to the board, and the initial inclination was, no, that's not enough money. I think it kind of took everybody by surprise because, like I said, I think your first inclination is, well, that'd be going backwards to do that. That'd be silly. So we had some discussions about it, and at some point a number – I don't know where the number came from, but it's kind of like, well, we wouldn't even consider doing anything for less than $50,000 or something like that. I mean, and I can tell you because I do, as part of, interest in my job, kind of keep track of, you know, what do radio stations sell for, you know. And I know that, you know, $50,000 for a small station in this geographic area, if you were actually purchasing the frequency without the studios and everything, it's, you know, it's probably above fair market value if you were purchasing it. But that isn't what they were offering to do at that point. They just wanted us to decrease our power.
And Linda, as board president, how are you taking this all in?
Well, clearly it's a very complicated issue. I think the history goes that this proposal came to us. It's sort of morphed a little bit over time. We set a higher bar for financial participation. But there are many issues that need to be examined, and the primary one is really the engineering. Could we move to a different frequency, reduce our power? How does that impact our whole translator system that broadcasts throughout the region? And we're still in the process of sort of following that trail down. From the board's perspective, we felt like we did have to put this on the table and consider it, and did direct Rick to pursue negotiations with them, try to bring the price up, secure a commitment that this company would pay for any equipment needs that were required to make this transition, the engineering studies, some ancillary costs that would be required in just communicating to our listeners that the change was going to happen, if indeed we did, you know, get that far and it was going to happen. We realize there's a lot of costs, there's a lot of changeover, there's just not the technical stuff, but there's, you know, just acclimatizing our listeners that you know, something might be changing and how to respond to that. I think the board's primary, well, so the board's, I think, considerations were twofold. One is that we had a fiduciary responsibility to look at this offer. It's, you know, so I know a lot of people feel like it's definitely not enough to change 90.9. People identify very strongly with 90.9, and a lot of people feel like it is definitely not enough money to consider that. On the other hand, it is $50,000. We have drawn down our reserves a considerable amount. We'd like to build those reserves back up. If the engineering proved out there was no signal degradation, it's something we feel like we really needed to look at. But it is, you know, very complicated.
Right. But then it all changed again.
How's that?
So after the $30,000 proposal and we decrease our power, I went back to them. I said, it's not enough money, blah, blah, blah. So then I get a phone call saying, well, what we've discovered in doing some engineering here is that you would pretty much have to decrease your power to 8 watts in order for us to be able to make this fly, and they would have to do the same thing up there. So then the offer morphed to, well, what we'll have to do is actually move you. You can't be at 90.9 and broadcast at anything over 8 watts without us running into a problem with our service contours overlapping with each other. So they went out and they sought out 91.5 is an available frequency here for the North Fork. And in order for us to not violate anybody else's airspace, we would have to operate at a power of about 400 watts, between 400 and 500 watts. And so now we're moving frequencies and reducing our power both. But along with that came the offer that we will pay you $50,000 if you will do that. And so at that point, as Linda pointed out, we felt that you know, this affects all of our members. I mean, this is money that we could utilize as part of a matching grant, maybe to put auxiliary power at our transmitter sites and here at the station. So in the event of an emergency that we would have a power outage, we would still be able to broadcast to people and provide emergency information and those types of things. And as Linda said, our reserves had been drawn down. And so no decision was made at that time, nor has a decision been made at this time that this is, you know, the appropriate thing to do. But certainly, I think, as Linda said, there's a fiduciary responsibility to all of our members throughout our 10,000 square mile listening area to at least pursue it to find out whether or not it would be feasible. And if it's feasible, then maybe take it to the members and allow them to pretty much, you know, let us know what their opinions are. And if it came right down to it, go to a vote with it.
Let me just jump in here and remind people that this is a live call-in show, and the phone numbers are 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF. Now, if you'd like to ask KVNF Board President Linda Bacigalupi or KVNF Station Manager Rick Watts about the information regarding us contemplating a proposed frequency change and power reduction for KVNF. Thanks.
Sure. So this is kind of where we're at. As things were going on, we asked our engineer, John Banks, to give us some preliminary ideas kind of based upon his review of, you know, the different service contours and frequencies available and et cetera, whether or not this would be feasible. And immediately some issues arose that would have to be dealt with. The primary one, and again, this kind of goes to some of what you hear on the street, is if we did this, we're just going to shut down our Ridgeway and Ouray translators. And the first thing I think I can say on behalf of myself and the board of directors is this. If doing anything with Educational Media Foundation pursuant to their proposal would affect our ability to cover any of those areas that we serve, mm-hmm. It's just off the table. We're not going to do that. I mean, we value our listeners in Ridgeway. We value our listeners in Ouray. We value our listeners in Lake City, and I know they value us as well. So that's a relationship that we have every intention of maintaining. And to the extent that doing any of this or the engineering would show that any of that would be compromised, it's just done. So one of the issues that has arisen is that Colorado Public Radio operates a translator in Ouray at 91.5, which is the proposed frequency
right.
for KVNF in the event they were going to move. And it's a directional antenna. It beams right down the Uncompahgre Valley to Ridgeway, and it's a pretty powerful translator. So we would be competing with that signal at our Ridgeway translator because the way a translator works is it actually has a receive antenna, And so the way it is right now, it's receiving KVNF at 90.9 on its antenna and then rebroadcasting that to the small listening area that the translator serves. So in Ridgeway...
Excuse me, we have a caller, Chalmer in Hotchkiss, has a question. Go ahead, Chalmer.
Yeah, hi. Maybe 10 minutes ago, something was mentioned about the $50,000 that was kind of attractive in the light of the reserves of the station that had been reduced, and that this would help to increase the reserves. My question, concern would be, question, what is it that did reduce the reserves to a point where you're somewhat concerned about it? And if you had $50,000 or so, part of that would be to bring your reserves back up. You know, are there any changes in the financial operations of the station to stop eating away at the reserves so you return to a lower reserve at some future time?
Great question, Chalmer. Thank you for your call. Yes, do you want to address that, Linda?
Sure. Over the past 3 years, along with the recession, we feel like we had lower underwriting revenues. We also needed to strengthen and develop how we were going after underwriting, but we do feel like the recession affected that revenue stream. We also suffered some losses when the federal level sequestration process happened. Our CPR grant was reduced for 1 year, and so that cut into our cash flow a little bit. We had made a commitment to start the news programming, and that was something we wanted to follow through with. So it was a decision that the board made for a couple of years in a row that we actually did forecast and actually had deficit budgets. We had about a three-month amount in our bank account of a reserve, 3 months operating income. We felt like we could weather a relatively short transition and use some of those monies to keep up the quality of programming and the quality of the news programming we were beginning. And so that was a decision the board made at that time.
But that was 3 years ago, and since then... We have increased, or this, where are we at?
This year, we are just completing our fiscal year right now. The end of September marked the end of this last fiscal year. And we have a slight margin in the black this year. We're happy to say it exceeded a little bit what our forecast was. We are building back up our underwriting revenues. We have seen a good, strong membership income flow. Higher donors are contributing. The federal government actually restored the sequestration amount this last year, and we don't have any forecasts that that's going to happen again immediately anyway. So we think we are on a sounder footing now moving forward, and it definitely is a commitment of the board not to forecast any deficit budgets moving forward.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you. Does that answer your question, Chalmer?
Yes, I think you're making, you know, the estimated improvement in income versus the expenses overall and the building up and changing capital expenses and so forth. And it sounds like I hope it all works out.
Thank you.
With our local economy, the national doesn't affect it too much, but our local economy is really what drives this station to keep going.
Absolutely, it does.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we have about 5 minutes left of this show. The numbers to call 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now if you would like to pose your question to Linda or Rick.
Okay.
All right. So we're barely into this topic.
And so we were discussing, I think, the translator at Ridgeway. And so where there's kind of an issue where Colorado Public Radio's translator in Ouray would kind of drown us out in Ridgeway and make it difficult for that translator to pick up 91.5 at the reduced power. The good thing is that 89.1 KVMT in Montrose actually has a stronger signal in Ridgeway than even 90.9 does now. So It would probably take a little bit of tweaking, but we would have to rearrange some things in Ridgeway. But I think that that would continue unaffected. It would just be a matter of having that translator listen to KVMT in Montrose rather than to KVNF in Paonia. You know, some of the other issues that have arisen, and you know, and we hear about these things, and we always urge people, if you've got questions about anything that's going on here at KVNF, I have an open door policy. Anybody's welcome to come in and ask questions. And I think that's probably true of the board as well. I don't mean to speak for you, Linda, but I'm certain that you would be more than happy to talk to any listeners or members that are concerned as well.
I think Jeff has a comment he'd like to make.
Well, in regards to the Ridgeway translator, one of the issues that came up was if Ridgeway is currently receiving 90.9, and if 90.9 changes to 91.5 and Ridgeway can't receive it, Ridgeway can't use 89.1 as its receive signal because it's broadcasting on 88.9, which is only one channel away from that.
Okay.
So Ridgeway's transmit frequency on that translator would also probably have to change if this whole thing happened. The Ridgeway translator could still be there, but it may well need to change to a different frequency also, just so that it could then receive 89.1 instead of 90.9. So,
and then in turn, as I understand it, URA's translator actually feeds off of Ridgeway's translator.
That is correct.
So depending upon where that frequency would end up, it could ultimately end up with needing to do something in Ridgeway as well.
Yeah, but URA would have to at least change its receive frequency. So
sure.
Yeah.
So, but again, the point being, this is all engineering that is in the works. And as I stated earlier, I just want to make this so very clear. In the event that doing anything under this proposal would affect our ability to cover any of our service areas, it just wouldn't happen. It wouldn't even need to go to the members. It would just pretty much be taken off the table.
Okay.
I just want to jump in here and say a couple of times, just remind members that tomorrow night is our annual meeting. This is our chance to come together as members and listeners, and we're having the meeting at the Paonia Town Hall tomorrow night at 6:30. And anyway, I encourage everybody to turn out. We are having board member elections. We have 4 seats open, 6 candidates running. And we will be also having a discussion of this issue. We're going to have some handouts available. So we really encourage anybody who's interested in this to come to that meeting tomorrow night at 6:30 at the Paonia Town Hall. Get some more information.
Cast your vote.
Cast your vote, yeah.
And as Linda pointed out, I'm sure there'll be a lengthy discussion about this issue at the meeting. So if you've got something you want to add or actually want to meet the players or...
Or perhaps we didn't cover it tonight in
sure.
our half-hour program.
Sure.
That'd be a great time to come in.
It's a complex issue. And again, as I stated, if you've got questions, please, instead of relying upon hearsay and what you're hearing on the street, come in and talk to us because it affects you all. You're our members. You own this radio station. So
super.
We're just here to make it work for you.
Okay. All right. So tomorrow night at Paonia Town Hall, all members are invited to attend the annual meeting starting at 6 o'clock.
6:30, actually. The meeting will start at 6:30, but do come early. We'll have cookies and desserts and coffee and handouts to hand out. And so we would like you to come a little early so we can get organized and start on time.
He'll maybe give you a chance to take us aside and visit with us as well.
We do have another caller. Should we take this call?
Sure.
Okay,
I think so.
Let's keep going. We'll just keep rolling with this.
Okay.
Caller, are you there? Who's this?
I'm here. Hey, I'm a member of KVNF, and I listened to the... I want to thank you first for putting this on the air and having public calling, although I think the time allotted is a little bit short, but... and I listened to the candidates the other day, and I'm just kind of wondering what the mission statement for KVNF is, because you guys have a great radio station, and you have a lot of loyal listeners, and it seemed like you're trying to expand, and you've gone to underwriting, which has gotten almost obnoxious, I hate to say. And you're talking about selling signals for $50,000, and maybe you should reexamine, you know, your mission statement and pull back. You know, maybe you should go backwards and make it more local, because there seems to be a lot of confusion and a lot of debate about which direction you're headed and the quality of your programming.
Do you feel that the programming has suffered?
I totally think it's suffered. But I would really like to know what the mission statement is and if you think you're following.
Oh, sure. We can. Linda, you have the mission statement. It's education and
right.
entertainment.
Right. Education and entertainment to our listening area. And, I mean, in a nutshell, it's longer than that, of course. But I think that is what we're trying to do. And we're trying to always improve the value of our local content, bring meaningful national content. We really rely on and enjoy and value the local DJ programming. I think, so we're trying to provide this quality radio listening experience. We're also providing this experience through the web and the internet. That is what we're trying to do. It is a lot. You're right. It is
a
lot.
I can quote the actual mission statement. It is the mission of Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF, to participate in and reflect the diversity of its community by presenting a program service which addresses the community's education, information, cultural, and entertainment needs.
All right. Could I just...
That's great, and that sounds good, but are you compromising that by entertaining these offers of, $50,000 to fill up your coffer again and expanding your listening area and then having to contract that to get money? I mean, there seems to be an obvious conflict here.
May I, Patty?
Go ahead.
Okay. Number one, I just want to say as it relates to contracting our listening area, that's certainly not going to happen. Like
or
I said.
Or expanding. We're trying to
right.
maintain quality signal to the areas that we serve. Right.
Right. And again...
but going from 8,000 watts to 400 is going, if somebody can't get 89.1 or 90.1, whatever it is, that's going to shrink your area, and you're going to get this $50,000, and then it's going to evaporate because you have to operate on that.
First off, the 8,000 watt station is KVMT, and that's not affected. The station we're talking about is the 2,600-watt station at KVNF in Paonia. As I stated, when they increased the power from 500 watts to 2,600 watts, the purpose of that was to take our signal further south, towards Delta and Montrose. When KVMT came on the air at 8,000 watts in Montrose, that increase that we had enjoyed with the 2,600 watts became redundant with that same geographic area we're now covering with the 8,000 watts.
But it seems that, it was a moving target. Things kept changing, and that their offer changed. The money increased, but the effect on KVF, as I call it, and its listeners, changed as well. And as you just stated previously, that, if it was going to affect that listening area in Delta or whatnot, Paonia, that you weren't going to entertain it anymore.
And that's correct.
But that still leaves, what are you guys doing? What is this $50,000 thing that somebody waving in front of you and you guys got all pretty hopped up about it?
I don't know that anybody's hopped up about it, but when somebody offers a nonprofit $50,000, certainly that would afford some opportunity to us. Right now we have no auxiliary power at either of our transmitters, nor do we have any here at the station. So in the event of an emergency that would somehow compromise the power grid, we're off the air. We're not able to provide that kind of information to our listeners anymore. So that's something that everybody within our entire listening area can benefit from. The other thing is, most of the federal funding to purchase equipment has gone away. So in the event of a catastrophic, equipment failure, certainly we're going to have some revenue available to make those repairs.
Thank you, caller. We appreciate your call. We have another call on the line. Philip, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Hi, Philip. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how you doing? I just wanted to, one quick clarification. Rick, you mentioned that if this was came back as a doable thing, that you would be putting it out to the membership. So does that imply that you're in favor of the amendment to the bylaws that basically requires that?
Philip, here's what I'm going to tell you. As it relates to the language of the bylaws, you know, I don't want to personally get into that, and that's something we're going to be discussing at the annual meeting tomorrow. What I am in favor of, you know, the bylaw as written affects a lot more, frankly, and this is all I'm going to say about it, than this particular situation. But as it relates to this particular situation, in the event that the engineering works out and the board would determine that this would be financially in the best interests of the station and the membership, the board is not going to take that action, as I understand it, without putting this out to the membership first, the membership of the entire listening area. I mean,
Right. Certainly
this has far more sentimental involvement here in the North Fork than it does probably in some of the rest of our listening areas that could benefit from these proceeds. So, but I don't want anybody to think that there's cloak and dagger, non-transparent, behind-the-scenes things going on here. I went to some of the members that I felt would be most, you know, sentimentally affected by this because they've been here, you know, since the beginning, and made them aware that this proposal was out there and invited them to come to the meeting wherein this was discussed. And,
Right. And
like I said, we and I in no way, shape or form want anybody to think that I don't appreciate the value of the sentimentality or the branding that's associated with 90.9. But again, it's the cost-benefit analysis, and I think that that's something that in the event that the engineering works out to where we could continue to serve our entire listening area without, you know, adverse effect, then I think that it's something that really needs to go to the entire membership to decide. And at that point, the membership may decide that they value that number enough that they don't feel that it's enough money. And at that point, then we walk away.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, and I think that pretty much aligns with my point, is that the amendment basically certifies that that's going to happen. I mean, unfortunately, there's been, you know, slight loss of trust in this situation, and it seems to me that the amendment, all it does is makes it certain that what you say is going to happen will happen.
Certainly. And the one thing I will say about the proposed amendment is that as written, essentially, it would prohibit the board from divesting itself of any broadcast equipment or anything else. I mean, it goes far beyond, you know, licenses or frequencies or power reductions. And I think that although the board would be more than happy to accept some kind of an amendment to the bylaws that would provide that, certainly they would turn to the membership. Say in the event of the sale of an asset that would require an FCC filing.
Right.
I don't think that anybody would object to that. I think that the objection, as far as the board's concerned, and Linda, please correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's a little overbroad and that it states that we can't sell any broadcast-related equipment even without going to the membership. And, Philip, you probably as well as anyone know how hard it is to get a quorum.
Right.
If I had to get a quorum together so I could go sell an old Shell translator or transmitter, I don't think I'd get it done.
You know,
the storeroom would be full.
But it also, quite honestly, seems like a bit of a red herring because, you know, it doesn't come up that often. And we've sold most of our old equipment.
Sure.
So, and we all know that this amendment came up specifically about the 90.9, which you and I have talked about.
Sure.
And
sure.
As you know, I'm not totally opposed to it if it was,
right.
You know,
right.
But I do think it's important, being a community radio station, that the entire membership has a voice in it.
Sure. And one thing I can tell you, Philip, and I think that I speak for the whole board, obviously I'm not on the board, but I don't believe that anybody would oppose something in the bylaws that would mandate that the membership, you know, get to vote on something such
sure.
as what is pending right now. Again, I think that it could probably be written a little more narrowly. Whether that's necessary or not, I don't know. And I don't want you to think that I'm even taking a personal opinion
right.
on it
no, I
at this
I,
point.
I know.
But Philip, you do.
You know, and I get your point. It's not the best written amendment in the world, and.
But the I certainly understand the basis.
You know, unfortunately, you can't tweak an amendment at
after
this
it's
stage.
Made. Right. Exactly.
You can repair it next year, and there's nothing else coming up that would be so onerous during the year.
Right.
So it seems like it's just a good insurance policy right. for us as members.
And something else I can throw out there, Philip, is this. I mean, throughout the course of all this, I think we've identified some other issues within the bylaws that need to be addressed as it relates to elections. So I think what you're going to see after this meeting is over is we're going to be convening a special meeting of the members relatively soon, and we're going to try to take on the bylaws as a whole and just get them ironed out.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your response to that.
Sure. Thanks, Philip.
So I just wanted to interject here for the board that the board has taken a formal position in opposition to the bylaw amendment, mostly on the grounds that it is so broad that we feel like it's interfering with the board's ability to do its job. On the other hand, we're very much interested in having input on this issue of the power change and a frequency change at the 90.9 transmitter. So I just want to clarify those two positions of the board.
And come to the meeting tomorrow, because like I said, I'm sure there's going to be a very in-depth discussion about it. And you know, it's going to be more of a face-to-face thing. And obviously, we won't have the time constraints that we have tonight.
527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now are the numbers to call. If you would like to talk to either station manager Rick Watts or board president Linda Batchigalupi tonight on this issue about the proposed frequency change.
Now,
Paul in Paonia. Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. One thing about the proposed amendment, I would agree that it's too broad. It was done in haste and probably without enough consideration. I do appreciate Phil's point that it can be changed next year. In the meantime, some of us would be feel better about it. It also has occurred to me that rather than just come out in opposition to that proposed amendment, the board could have proposed an amendment which would state their intentions. And that didn't happen. And that bothers me a bit that the board kind of just reacted to that amendment and rather than think about it and maybe propose another proposal. But there'll be more discussion on that tomorrow. I did want to question Rick's point of redundancy on 90.9. I don't think that's entirely accurate because I think 90.9 goes into areas where 89.1 has a shadow, and reducing 90.9 would potentially some people would just lose the KVNF signal. That's my recollection. When we did increase that wattage at 90.9, we got into some areas that we weren't getting into before. That's true, but with 89.1, we still ended up with some shadows down around Log Hill, I believe, and other areas. So I'm not sure that redundancy argument is entirely accurate. Another question I have is what has happened to the committee that was appointed to look at this thing? Is that still active? Is this proposal still sort of working?
And I'm going to kind of try to address those in the order that you presented them out there. Number one, please don't think that we've completed our engineering on this. Like I said, we've only done very, very preliminary investigation. A lot of that stems from the fact that, you know, there was some resistance to it, and obviously this proposed bylaw amendment was thrown out there. So we don't want to engage in a whole lot of engineering if this thing is going to, you know, be dead in the water without it. So there's a lot more engineering that has to be completed, and certainly what we will do before making any decision would be to physically go up to the transmitter site, we're going to probably need to get a permit from the FCC, but we can decrease that power down to 400 watts and actually physically investigate whether or not they're going to be areas that are adversely affected. And, you know, I don't think that probably it could be so clean as to say that there's going to be absolutely some little nook and cranny somewhere that won't be affected by it. But at that point, what happens is it needs to go to the members, and then members need to make the cost-benefit analysis to determine whether or not it's worth losing those little nooks and crannies potentially, or maybe nobody's listening for $50,000. But again, I think that that needs to be a decision that's posed to the membership at that point. As it relates to the committee, again, kind of like I said, we've kind of not pursued much more engineering, kind of pending what happens with this proposed bylaw change. It kind of came up, and you know, so certainly, I mean, we're looking at it, and I don't want anybody to think that, you know, we've reached a conclusion that we, by gosh, want this $50,000 and it doesn't matter, because that couldn't be further from the truth.
And Paul, I want to say that's a good suggestion that the board could have proposed an alternative amendment that might have satisfied some of these concerns. I think what happened is the if anything, we responded a little slowly. We and there is a 45-day requirement. I think the proposed amendment came in right at that 45-day deadline, and we really didn't have time to contemplate and try to understand what the concerns were clearly enough to put forward a really valid, workable alternative. So, but thanks for that suggestion.
Well, I appreciate that that time thing. That explains a lot to me. That you know, you didn't
right.
really have time.
Right. Thank you.
And then, so the committee is sort of presently kind of on hold.
I think that that's correct. I mean, okay. We don't want to spend a lot of time and engineering money on something that could just be pretty much put down in the event that the bylaw amendment passed and the membership voted not to pursue it. So, like I said, that's, you know, we're just trying to watch our nickels and dimes.
Okay, well, thanks for going public with this, so to speak, you know, taking the time to get it on the air and discuss it.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call.
Come to the annual meeting tomorrow night, 6:30. Okay.
We have a called-in question. What portion of the annual budget does $50,000 represent? Good question.
That's a great question. I wish I had the budget laying here in front of me. Treasurer, if you're out in the other room and you have a copy of the budget, maybe you could bring it in. You know, our budget for this upcoming fiscal year, actually, I guess it's not upcoming. It started at the first of this month. You know, we've ramped it up a little bit. I mean, we've seen some real growth. And that is one thing I wanted to touch on. One of the callers before alluded to the fact that maybe we're over-underwriting. I do want to stress that even right now, I mean, we're pretty much full. But, I mean, we're running no more than 2 minutes of underwriting an hour. And most hours, it's more like maybe a minute and 30 seconds of underwriting. So, I mean, if you look at that in context of a commercial station that runs 4 3-minute commercial breaks an hour, I mean, we're not really throwing a lot of underwriting time in there. Here comes our budget right now. So the budget for this year is $459,000. So $50,000 would represent about, what is that, a ninth of the budget or
okay.
something like that? But also it's the equivalent of an entire pledge drive. So you know, our goal for our upcoming pledge drives, the one here in a couple of weeks, and I think the one that's scheduled for the spring, are both right at $55,000, which is pretty much where our last two pledge drives have run. So, I mean, we're looking at, you know, having a whole pledge drive worth of revenue to go into the reserve account, which, as was stated earlier, we're not operating at a deficit budget anymore. So that money's in reserves. It's available for equipment failures, for repairs, for matching grants, for purchasing capital improvements, things like that. But, you know, it's a little scary not having anything at all in the coffers, and that's kind of where we're at.
Very good. Okay, 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now are the numbers to call if you would like to speak to either KVNF Board President Linda Bacigalupi or KVNF station manager Rick Watts. I have them both here. We're on for another 10 minutes discussing the proposed frequency change and power reduction for KVNF in Paonia.
All right. And I just kind of wanted, I've got an email here. You know, there are a lot of other engineering concerns that we're looking at. And please, callers, do call if you've got questions, because this is your opportunity. Again, we could bring it up live tomorrow night, but we have the time set aside now. And so if you've got a call or a question, please give us a call. We'd like to talk about it right now.
We have another comment.
Oh, good.
Called in a comment. Don't count your eggs until they're chickens.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
But again, there are a lot of engineering issues, and as I've stated before, and maybe we could hear from somebody that has an opinion kind of in maybe more of our extended listening area. Obviously, the North Fork is going to be the area that's probably most affected, but I really believe that the effect of that is going to be that people are going to have to move their dial, you know, two channels in the non-commercial band to get to 91.5. And I guess I hope, at least as the manager of the radio station, that, I mean, we've got a 35-year history here in Paonia and the North Fork. And to me, if there's a group of listeners that are going to be willing to make that minor change, which is essentially in this day and age, you know, adjusting your dial one time to be able to continue to listen to us, they're going to do that. And again, that's not to take away from the sentimentality or the branding issues associated with 90.9. We all understand that those exist. And again, those are something that at some point, assuming the engineering works out, that will have to be weighed by the members in making that decision. But again, I'd like to hear from somebody kind of in the outlying areas, maybe beyond the North Fork, and maybe we can get a question or a comment from them.
527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF. Now, if you're listening out in the Ridgeway area, we would love to hear from you and hear your opinion of this whole proposed. It's not even proposed. It's just a contemplation
right.
of a proposal.
Well, it was certainly proposed to us by Educational Media Foundation. And, you know, again, and I know I've said this before, but I don't want any of our listeners to think that we're out trying to sell our frequencies. You know, another thing that has come up that I've heard on the street is that K-Love will be broadcasting on our beloved 90.9. And that's not true either. What will happen when we move is that they will be broadcasting on that Palisade station that we were discussing before at 90.7. 90.9 will just simply go dark.
Barry has a question. Good evening, Barry.
Good evening. I live in Log Hill Village outside Ridgeway, and I'm not all that in tune with, you know, your broadcasting situation in the North Fork Valley or Delta or whatever. I'm just going to comment on my own experience down here where I live, and that's that we don't have a whole lot of overlap on frequencies. I listen mainly to 88.9, and then when I drive to Mount Rose, I listen to 89.1. And there's always a gray area between them. And then when I drive down to the south side of the Ridgeway, Uncompahgre Valley area, I have to switch back to 89.1 when 88.9 fades out. And so I understand you guys, you know, you've got a different situation up there, but we don't have any overlap down here.
Right.
We're not overpowered.
Sure. And that's the reason that we have those translators in Ridgeway and Ouray, is because just because of the sheer geography of the area down there, 89.1 doesn't sneak into all those nooks and crannies. And so we kind of had holes and wanted to ensure that we had a good, strong signal in those communities, which is the purpose that those translators are there. Now, the 90.9 signal that we're discussing, if you look at the contour map, pretty much just skirts the north edge of Montrose. So certainly it would not affect Ridgeway, although I can say that our Lake City translator is actually fed by 90.9 as well. So that's one of the engineering studies that will have to be completed, is whether or not at 90.9, or if we moved up to 91.5 and reduced the power to 400 watts, whether or not we would be able to reach that Lake City translator at 400 watts. I do know, and I can say without absolute certainty, that after the Wakefield fire, at that point, Paonia was at 3,000 watts. The tower burnt up. The old 500-watt translator was hauled up to Wakefield, and a temporary antenna was erected, and we actually operated until the new tower and transmitter were in place with that 500-watt transmitter and this temporary antenna. Because the height of it was so low, the effective radiated power of that transmitter was far less than 500 watts. And it's my understanding at that point, and I've not been able to verify it for sure, but we were still lighting up the Lake City translator at less than 500 watts, probably less than 400 watts.
Thanks for your call, Barry. Max, are you there?
I am. I think I am. I don't
Max
know.
In Montrose.
You're there, Max.
I'm doing good. Hey, now, this is kind of new to me. I was just guiding, listening to you guys, but I haven't paid attention to a lot of this. But traveling over most of the western slope, does this little deal just change the signal that I get from KVNF? Because, I mean, at Blue Mesa, I lose KVNF when I come up close to Sapanero. I pick it back up when I get to Lake City, but in between there's nothing, which is okay with me because we have a lot of valleys and mountains and stuff like that. But typically, I don't ever even get on, even when I'm in Paonia, I'm usually on 89.1.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, no, I mean,
I know that as you move up in some of these little valleys and places and different geographical locations, that that signal can go crazy, but you know, I've even got, you know, most of you guys have signaled almost sometimes to Debec occasionally.
Sure.
Depending on which one I've got it on and the 99.1 kind of deal, boy, that's kind of sketchy in Grand Junction.
Right.
So does this affect, I mean, in the power thing, does this affect everything if this goes on like that? Because so far it just, to me, it's more important that as many people as we can get. I don't get it in downtown Telluride, okay?
Right.
But
I'm sure Cotto appreciates that, too.
Well, I mean, that's fine for them, but sure. I mean, everywhere else around there, I mean, in Ridgeway, Ouray, and everything, I just get a really clear signal. And does this affect that or no?
No, what you're talking about is our 8,000-watt signal at KVMT in Montrose.
Okay.
You know, and that kind of goes to the branding thing. I mean, you know, we're KVNF. You know, we're not 90.9 everywhere. I mean, we're on translators. And, you know, when I talk to a listener up in Montrose, they're not saying, oh, yeah, we love listening to KVMT. I mean, they're listening to KVNF up there. You know, I don't hear that I'm listening to K211BH in
Ouray.
In Ouray, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I'm 66 years old, and I just take my little digital radio, and if I need to find the station that I want to listen to, which is you guys, I just flip it over to the one that I want, you know. And that's about as simple and as sentimental as I get. I just want to listen to the radio.
Exactly, and we want to make sure that everywhere that you're listening to it now, you continue to listen to it.
Well
and
said.
And even with this proposed deal, if this happens or it doesn't happen or whatever, that probably won't change, maybe?
It's not going to change anything with what you're hearing at 89.1. And the point that you make is good. I mean, the fact that you're listening to 89.1 all the way up to Paonia pretty much shows that redundancy that I'm talking about.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. But I don't know that, I mean, is that translator or whatever it is in Paonia, is that going to hurt people up in Somerset if they can't reach it or something?
No, what you will find if you look at the contour map, even at the reduced power, when we mm-hmm. upgraded our power, that area to the north really isn't affected because of the geography. We've got okay. the Ragged's up there and a lot of
right.
mountains. So we could pump yeah. 50,000 watts to the north and you're going to see the same service contour.
Okay, because you're not like the cat in L.A. back in the 60s.
No, not at all.
With 500,000 watts of power just going, you know, crazy.
No, we couldn't okay. afford that power bill.
No, I was just curious about that because it seemed like it was a, and I like the idea of, you know, a pledge drive kind of copper thing going back in because we put a lot of money in there to do the new studio and stuff, you know, and I
sure.
mean, every penny counts. You know, and if it doesn't affect your listening area, then I think that's okay.
Well, you know? Thank you for your call, Max. I hate to cut you off, but we
no,
are going to wrap up now. If you guys have any final comments that you needed to make tonight, this evening?
I just want to thank everybody for your calls. I'm glad Rick scheduled this session on air, and I want to encourage all members to come to the annual meeting tomorrow night, 6:30, Paonia Town Hall, 214 Grand Avenue. We do have a scheduled segment on the agenda to discuss this further, and we'll have some handouts that'll sort of clarify some of the technical things that are hard to grasp when we're just chatting about it on air. So please come. We'd love to see you.
Thank you, Linda.
All I have to say is this. We value each and every one of you as listeners and members. And I just want you to know that no matter what happens with any of this, we're not going to compromise that. If through this proposal we would somehow lose a listening area or lose you as listeners, it just isn't going to happen. But as Linda stated, we're going to have a great discussion at the annual meeting tomorrow. And frankly, I'd like to see you all. So turn out, talk with us, and we can explore this further.
Thank you, Rick. I'm Patricia Naft for KVNF, the Wednesday Wildcard.